I want to call your attention to scripture reading found in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. I want to read just a couple of verses to begin there today. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 1 and 2, but before I read them, I want to speak about the first word that I'm going to read today, the word behold. When we find that oftentimes in the scriptures, we find it used in a way that it is to excite attraction to what's going to be said. It is a word, the English word behold, is used that way and sometimes defined that way, that it is a word that is used for exciting attention or admiration to someone or something. And it's not just a mere exclamation. It's beyond that, beyond mere exclamation. It's to be used as an attention getter. And we find it in the scriptures, some examples when John the Baptist was baptizing at the Jordan and he saw Jesus coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." In the first chapter of Revelation, when it's talking about the Lord's coming, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds," and that gets our attention. And in this verse, and I don't know if you ever do this when you study the scriptures. But if you ever sit and try to imagine what it was like for the writer at the time, what was this like for John? What was he feeling at the time that he wrote this? I have a tendency to believe he was excited. And, you know, we can, today, I'm going to talk about the love of God, and we can sit calm and idle and listen to a sermon and get up and leave, or we can think about the love of God and be excited in our hearts about the love of God. We have that choice today. I believe that John was very passionate and very excited about what he was saying here. He said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And you know, I think oftentimes, and I'm not talking about manufacturing something. I'm not talking about working up something. I'm talking about what we genuinely feel. But I think that oftentimes that we are not as excited about the things of the Lord as we ought to be. And if you really stop and ponder and think about the way I believe that John was here when he considered this great thought of, and we might say with what he said, when he said, "What manner of love," we might say, "Behold, how great of a love that God bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And when we read the scriptures, we have verses that tell us that what God did for this world, that it was motivated solely by love. That it was motivated only by love. There are verses that speak about what God did in order for us to be saved, and the only thing that is mentioned there is His love. And I want to share some of those here, Lord willing, in just a little while. But I don't know if you have this same dilemma that I do, but it seems to me that love is a difficult thing to define. Now, I mean, you can take, there are a lot of objects that you could take, you could perhaps some type of tool or something, and you could define, you could give a dictionary type definition of what this particular thing is and what it's used for, but it seems that love is something that's difficult to put into a definition. It seems that it is easier to describe love than it is to try to define love. And I think that that's what, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think that's what we really see the Apostle Paul doing, is he is describing love. He is describing what love does. He is describing the attributes of love rather than trying to define love. And I want us to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 some of the things that the Apostle Paul wrote about love. Beginning with verse 4, he said that it is long-suffering. Love is patient. Love is long-suffering. Charity suffereth long. He said that it's kind. He said love is kind. He said that it does not envy, it does not vaunteth itself, is not puffed up, it's not boastful. Love does not, it's not boastful. He says it does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. You know, love, true love, causes people to seek the welfare of others above the welfare of themselves. Love does not seek her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but does rejoice in truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things. And, you know, this statement that is made in verse 8 about love, how powerful is this? The Apostle Paul said, charity never faileth. Love never fails. And he said other things, prophecies and tongues and knowledge of things of that nature would cease and would fail, but love does not fail. And so here we see the Apostle Paul, and I believe that he's really talking about the love of God here. He's really talking about the agape love, the love of God, and he's defining here the attributes. Love is something that I think when we see it, that we are able to recognize it because of the things that it does. And when we feel love, we are able to, when we feel it, we're able to know that it's love because of what it makes us feel. And listen, I want you to know this today, and there have been people for years that have been arguing this, and I suppose that there still are today, but listen, there are feelings that we experience that come from God. When you get saved, you feel it. When you get saved, you feel it. There are feelings that are associated with, you know, it's honestly hard for me to imagine how that anybody could think that God could touch them with His love the way that He does in salvation and that person not feel it. You know, I don't understand how anybody could really believe that, but I know that when the Lord saved me, I felt it. And it was stronger than anything else that I had ever felt in my life. So we are able to feel the love of God when it comes into our hearts. All right, let's go back to for a moment to what I was saying. And I want us to see that when the scriptures talk to us and tell us that which God did, the price that God paid in order for this world to have redemption, it was prompted and it was motivated by nothing more than His love towards us. Listen, when man sinned, when Adam transgressed the law of God years and years ago there in the garden, if it had not been for the fact that God loved the human race, we would have been cut off without any hope of eternal life, because it was love that prompted Him to do what He did. And in one of the perhaps the most quoted and perhaps most well-known scripture that there is, talks about that. The scriptures tell us this: for God so loved the world. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, the Bible doesn't say this. The Bible does not, the scriptures do not tell us that God sent His only begotten Son into the world because that we were so worthy of Him doing that. You won't find that anywhere in the scriptures. The scriptures tell us that God sent His only begotten Son here because that He loved us. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Well, what did He give Him to do? Well, He gave Him to come here and to die for the sins of the entire race of Adam. He came here to die for the sins of all of us. If there's anybody in this audience today that has any question about how far-reaching God's love is toward you, just know this, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when God sent Him here, He took all of your sin upon Him and took it to the cross, and He died there in our stead. Listen, the ones that were worthy of being nailed to the cross, that was you and I. If we would have been nailed to the cross, we would have been getting exactly what we deserve. But the Lord's love was so powerful that He took upon Him the sins of the whole world. And that's what John chapter 3, verse 16 tells us. God so loved the world. Now, He wasn't talking about the world proper. He wasn't talking about just the cosmos. He was talking about the inhabitants of the world. The human race is what He was talking about there. God so loved humanity that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, I want you to understand something today, that if you're here, even if you're lost, even if you have not yet come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, that God loves you. He loves you. He loved you to the point that He gave His life. The Lord loved you so much that He gave up His very life for you. He gave His life in order for you to live. He experienced death so that you could live. He came here and took upon Him the form of a man, the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men in that He could feel pain and He could feel sorrow and He could feel all the human emotions that you and I experience. And He came here and went through all of that and took all of our sins upon Him and nailed them to the cross so that we could live. That's the love that God had toward us. Without anything about us being deserving of that or worthy of that, he did that. You know, I really believe this. I believe that when a man and his wife come together and have a child, they ought to love that child. I believe that when a man and a woman come together and unite in holy matrimony, that they ought to love one another. They ought to honor that union and they ought to love one another. I believe that children ought to love their parents. You know, we all, I believe in every human relationship, we have reasons for loving one another. There are reasons why we should love one another. But listen, I don't believe there was any reason for God to love us. There was just nothing about us to give Him reason to love us. He just loved us. I believe that that's why the Scriptures tell us that it's a love that passes understanding. God's love is a love that we can know. It's a love that we can experience, but it's something that we just really cannot understand. Why that He loved us the way that He did. And so, if you're here today and you're lost and you continue in that way, if you fail to obey the gospel, if you go on and just continue in your lost and ruined condition and die and leave this world that way and split hell wide open for all eternity, you're going to do that despite God's love for you, because He loves you. He loves you and He wants to save you. So God loves everybody. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, we're told the same thing concerning the action of God's love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. That word there means made known or revealed or made clear to us. In this was made known the love of God toward us, in that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said that Christ did in his writing to the Corinthians. He said, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor." Listen, He was rich. He was rich not in earthly wealth, not in money. He was richer than that. He was richer in glory. He was richer in that He was in glory with the Father. And He became poor. He left that behind and came into this world of sin and took upon Him the form of a servant. Why would anybody do something like that? Why would He have done that? Why would the very Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, the Holy One of God, why would He leave all of that and come into this land of sorrow and sin and sickness and pain and all of this and experience the things that He did to go and to die on a cross for us? Why would He do that? Because He loved us. Because He loved us that much. You've probably seen that. You've probably seen the picture before, where it says, "I asked the Lord how much He loved me, and He said this much." Stretched out His hands to be nailed to the cross. That's the love of God that He had for this world. In this was made known to us the love of God. You see, there was action. There was a proving of His love. It wasn't just God looking at us and saying, "I love you." It was Him proving His love for us. In this was proven, in this was manifested the love of God towards us. When He sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins, He was not only telling us of His love for us, He was showing us how much that He loved us. He was proving to us how much that He loved us. And I'm thankful today for the love of God, because if it wouldn't have been for that, He would have never come here and died for somebody like me and somebody like you. He just would not have done that if it had not been for love. You know, listen, and I've said this before, it's hard to think about this without saying it, but we have seen love even on the human level. We have seen love cause people to do such unselfish things for somebody else. We've seen people love a cause. Listen, there have been people that loved the freedom that we have had in this nation enough to give their lives for it. There have been people that have been willing. I heard this one time, and it just moved me to tears. I heard this was a true account, but they were going to have a young boy give blood for his sister, and he didn't really understand what was happening. He misunderstood what was going to happen, and when they were getting ready to do this, when they were getting ready to make the transfusion, he began to weep, and they asked him what was wrong, and they come to find out that he thought that when he went in there to give blood to his sister, that he was going to die. This little boy thought he was going to die, but yet he was going to go, and he was going to do that for his sister. And they comforted him and assured him, no, you're just going to give some blood. You're not going to die. But he was going into that thinking that it was going to take his life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, Jesus laid down his life for a world that really had done nothing for him, didn't he? We were not his friends. We really had done nothing for the Lord, and yet he laid down his life for all of us. Isn't that what the Hebrew writer was talking about when he said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame, for being able to see what it would result in of people being able to come to the Lord and be saved. Well, lost friend, God loves you. But listen, for those who have been saved, for those who have experienced it, behold today, my brothers and my sisters, behold what great love, what manner of love that God has shown to us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are indebted to Him forever. We are indebted to Him not only in this life, but through all eternity. We are indebted to Him to give our lives to Him in His service for as long as we live, to present our bodies to Him a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him for what He has done for us. How good it is to know the love of God. How good it is to be saved and to be a child of God. I think I've become a little bit more thankful for that. The older that I get, and the more I realize that I'm swiftly approaching the end of this life, to know that my soul is saved, to know that I'm going home to be with God. What great love, what manner of love God has given to us that sinful creatures like we are. Let me ask you something. This may seem a strange question, but when you really look at yourself, when you really look at yourself in the flesh, when you really look at what you are, do you like yourself very much? Boy, we're just filled with faults, aren't we? We're just filled with faults and infirmities. There are people in the world today that want to think they're so perfect, but I'm going to tell you they're not. Mankind is filled with faults and failures, and there are so many infirmities in this flesh that it prompted the Apostle Paul to write and say, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. As far as I'm concerned, the only good thing you can say about me is that God put his love in there. That's all that I've got. Like the song said today, the song that Sister Laura sang, I won't boast about myself, but I'll boast in Jesus Christ, in his death and his resurrection and the love that he showed to me. Well, how great is that love? Well, it's greater than any kind of love. The love of God exceeds by far all kinds of love. It exceeds all filial love, all human love. It goes way beyond the love that we have for children or for parents or for a spouse or for siblings. It goes way beyond that. The love of God is the greatest of all love. The love of God, as the song says, is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. It's the greatest love that anybody has ever known. I'm thankful that I had parents that loved me. I'm thankful that I have siblings that love me. I'm thankful that I've had a wife for, Lord willing, this October. Been married for 40 years, and she has shown me love. But listen, when God put his love in my heart, when he saved me, that's the greatest love I've ever felt. That's the greatest love I've ever known. God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. He came here and he died for us just because he loved us. If you can find another thing said in that verse, I'm willing to listen to it. But as far as I know, and I've read it a lot of times, and as far as I can see, it only says this: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's it. That was the total motivator for him to do what he did, was because he loved us. If we could have a song. John was excited about this, wouldn't he? Oh, what manner of love God has bestowed upon us that we should be a child of the King. Think about it. What great love we've experienced. And in the fifth chapter of Romans, we're told that what happens to us when we get saved is that God sheds his love abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. What a great love. God, what a great thing God has done for us in saving us.